Never judge other people. You're being judgmental. What? You shouldn't feel guilty for that. There's no reason to feel any guilt. You should never feel ashamed. Shame is a toxic emotion. These are the type of dictates that I think we hear, that we experience as parents living and parenting in the 21st century in Western culture. There are certain emotions and certain cognitive processes that have become taboo. But today, as is our tradition here on the High Fam podcast, I want to bust these myths. I want to offer an alternative approach. And most importantly, I want to offer you mindset coaching that will, I hope, build resilience and help you to build a strong family culture. This is High Fam. I'm Avital. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so honored that you are here. And as per usual, I've got some controversial content for you, but I think this is going to be really, really helpful in training yourself to see the type of social dictates, the type of norms and cultural expectations that are around us and how these may not be in our best interest. Now, first off, I have to say that I have absolutely used the term judgment-free and told people not to feel guilty and not to feel ashamed. I'm not saying that we should, you know, feel all these feelings in full force. And I do want to spend a moment disclaiming here just so that I'm clear. Feeling negative emotions or sitting in a place of being very judgmental, these do need to be experienced in moderation, and they do need to be balanced with compassion, with understanding, with support, right? Overuse or misuse of judgment, of guilt, of shame can lead to these kind of negative outcomes where we really create a sense of self-impoverishment, where we build up resentment, where we avoid responsibilities, where we feel constantly bad about ourselves or make others feel bad. And effective parenting definitely involves fostering a healthy relationship with these emotions, right? And guiding our children to navigate them constructively rather than using them as tools for control or manipulation. So there's a very good reason that our culture, and particularly the gentle parenting world, has steered us away from these emotions, and it's become taboo to pass judgment, right? To be judgmental, to experience guilt or to guilt others, or to do anything that is in any way shaming to oneself or to others. There's a good reason that these have become a little bit taboo, but I want to break it down because I really believe in not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I think that when we go too far to an extreme, we lose something very important. We lose a real balance that is needed, right? That kind of balance that is needed in nature for things to be healthy and in check. So let's actually go into each of these three emotions or cognitive processes. But first, I just want to note that it's interesting that, and you may disagree with me here, but just open your eyes and look around you and see if you've noticed this. There are some emotions, some negative emotions that are certainly accepted and tolerated, maybe even celebrated and encouraged, and possibly even agitated, whether it's by cultural ideas, right, and social interactions, or by the way our algorithms and our echo chambers exacerbate these. But here's what I'm talking about. The first one is outrage, anger, right, this kind of righteous indignation. It's considered not at all taboo to be really angry, to be furious. That is a negative emotion that our culture is currently in a wave of embracing. Like, it's cool. You can be outraged. You can be angry. That makes you somehow maybe a social justice warrior, maybe someone who's, you know, got really big feelings about really important things. And there's this kind of justifying and validation of anger as an emotion. Another emotion that's completely justified and validated is being hurt and insulted and offended, right? Taking offense, feeling like a victim, feeling put upon, feeling oppressed, feeling persecuted. All of those types of feelings are also, I think, celebrated and even agitated. And also sadness, right? The idea that someone is depressed is not at all taboo anymore. In fact, in many ways, it's kind of labeled and encouraged and, again, agitated by, oh, you know, everybody has deep, dark secrets in their history or painful childhoods or our parents damaged us or I have trauma that I'm dealing with. And that's become kind of the normal way of talking about our emotional makeup and how we're interacting and how we're feeling, it's normal to be, you know, sad, to be offended, and to be angry. However, it's become taboo in certain circles to be judgmental, right? To have judgment, to judge something. And I want you to stick with me here, because actually in the next podcast episode or in an upcoming episode, I'm going to outline the difference between having judgment and being judgmental. And I agree that being judgmental of others, you know, not giving them the benefit of the doubt, not giving them a charitable read on whatever it is that is going on for them, assuming that you know what's going on, mind reading, being like, oh, I know better than them, or they shouldn't be behaving that way, shooting all over people. That can be a bit of an ugly way of interacting. It can be, you know, not very humble, sometimes intellectually dishonest. It could be higher than thou, right? Like kind of holier than thou, and self-important. And so, yeah, there is something about being judgmental that's really unpleasant and also creates a very unpleasant environment. I think us as parents often feel like someone's judging us in the park, in school, at the doctor's office. And it's not a good feeling, right? It's not a good feeling. It's a negative feeling that you're feeling judged. However, I do want to make a pitch for bringing back the idea that you're allowed, and no, you should, you must judge certain situations, that we have to use our judgment. That judgment, in a sense, is discernment. Many of us parents are so busy teaching our kids not to be judgmental, not to be judgmental, right? If you see someone who you're judging their body for being terribly overweight, you mustn't be judgmental. If you're judging them for what they're eating or how they're behaving or what they're wearing or what TV shows they watch, like, you mustn't be judgmental is this dictate of our culture. But you can go too far in not being judgmental. You can actually lose your judgment altogether, right? And what I'm talking about here in this episode today is going to the extreme of these dictates. I think it's good to soften your judgment. I think it's good to offer the benefit of the doubt. I think it's good not to be judgmental or disrespectful to others. Again, I'm going to outline the difference between those things in an upcoming episode. But let's just look at what we need our judgment for. When we judge something, we have basically critical thinking, right? We are able to discern. Judgment is discernment. It's able to say, well, this works better than that. This leads to better results than that. This lifestyle choice is healthier than that. This, you know, life path works better than that. And the word better might be kind of triggering you here. Like, oh no, you can't say one is better than the other. But that's exactly the point of judgment, is that you decide which one wins and which one loses, or which one is more preferable or which one is less, right? And that's exactly what our modern culture is having a lot of trouble with, because we've gone so far down the path of relativism, so far away from any path of kind of moral compass and guidance, that we think any judgment of, say, one culture being more beneficial than another, one practice being more beneficial than another, is taboo, is you know, blasphemous, is not allowed, is impermissible. But how are we going to establish boundaries? How are we going to hold expectations? How are there going to be any standards of behavior if we don't pass judgment on what is better and what is worse, on what is good and what is bad? How are we going to promote accountability and responsibility in our children and in ourselves if we're not able to say, one behavior is better than another? And if you won't pass judgment, you'll necessarily lead to uninformed decision-making, right? Like, you can't inform good decision-making if you're not willing to pass out certain hierarchies. How can we tell our children that, say, working hard in school is beneficial to them without passing judgment? We can't. Just telling a child working hard in school is good for you is a judgment in and of itself. Telling a child having too much sugar is bad for you is a judgment. Telling a child that lying is wrong is a judgment. We can't actually help them make good decisions if we can't inform them about our judgments about these things. And a judgment is really appropriate in situations where safety, where morality, where ethical considerations are at stake. That's where we need our judgment. You know, if it doesn't make any difference, like, oh, you wear the yellow shirt or the green shirt, it doesn't make any difference. We don't need judgment on that. But we do need judgment in places where someone's safety is at risk. And that's something I think that modern parents can still accept. Like, safety is still a reason to pass judgment. But also when someone's moral or ethical standing is at risk, or when someone's making life choices that might lead to undesired outcomes, even if they're not immoral and even if they're not dangerous, but it's just not great for you. It's just not a better path, right? It's just not more beneficial. So you can imagine a situation where a teenager is considering attending a party and they know that there's going to be underage drinking. We want them to have internal judgment. We want them to be able to weigh the potential consequences and make a decision that's aligned with their values. Say you have a friend who has, you know, a lot of negative influences and behaviors, like your child's going to school with a kid who's always disrupting the class, right? Who's always being rude and disrespectful to the teachers, or who hits and kicks other kids in the class. We want them to judge that kid, not to judge them and shame them and disrespect them, but to judge and say that behavior is not desirable. Behaving like that is worse than behaving well. Behaving well is better, right? Here, you see, we're making judgments. What's better and what's worse? So I also would love to live in a kind of judgment-free, you know, social circle where we're really offering the benefit of the doubt. But there's no such thing as actually being judgment-free. We need our judgments in order to decipher good choices, in order to make better choices for ourselves and for others. So I do think that we need to teach our children to be discerning, to say, oh, that choice is not a good choice, right? The choice to steal, the choice to destroy my body, the choice to give up on myself, the choice to hurt myself, the choice to be overly sexualized or promiscuous, the choice to watch hours and hours and hours of TV. Like, there are choices that aren't good for us for various reasons, whether it's because of health, whether it's because of safety, whether it's because of moral choices, or whether just because they're not wise choices. They don't lead to great results for people. They don't lead to more happiness or more joy or more usefulness, et cetera, et cetera. The second thing that we have done away with is guilt, right? Guilt-free. No one should ever feel guilty. Have you noticed how taboo it is to feel guilty? We don't want our child to feel guilty when they do something wrong, as if guilt is some terrible emotion that one should never experience. And it's just so interesting because within the kind of gentle parenting sphere, there's definitely the dictate that you're allowed to have your feelings. You should have your feelings. You can express your feelings. But notice how those feelings are always about being mad or sad. You're allowed to be mad. You're allowed to be sad. But you're not allowed to be guilty. You shouldn't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. What do you feel? You have nothing to feel guilty about. Well, no, sometimes you do have something to feel guilty about, right? Like, if my child accidentally breaks a family heirloom, for example, that was precious to us, then they feel guilty about their actions and it motivates them to apologize, to take responsibility, and to learn to be more careful in the future. That's a positive result of a negative feeling. Our guilt is there because it acts as an internal compass and it guides our behaviors. When we feel guilty, that's really uncomfortable for us. We don't like it. And it helps us understand that we've done something wrong. And it's really appropriate to feel guilty when you've done something wrong. In fact, it would be slightly psychopathic to not experience guilt or shame for that matter when you've done something wrong, right? Guilt promotes empathy and consideration for others. It helps us realize that we have wronged someone, that we have made a mistake that we should have been more careful about. And it encourages that reflection and that growth. Okay, it reinforces our moral values, our societal norms. If a child never feels guilty, or if you for that matter, or if I for that matter, don't feel guilty about things that we've done, we are kind of short-circuiting a really important circuit, right? A really important circuit that drives us to do better, to try harder, to be more careful, to be more considerate, to do the right thing, to make hard but good choices. And if we don't feel guilty about those things, how are we going to know, right? And I think many of us are kind of neutralizing this circuit in our children because we grew up maybe with too much guilt or too much shame, and we don't want them to feel any of it. But that would be throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We need to bring back a bit of guilt because it is Mother Nature's way of helping us to make good choices and to be empathic. Similarly, shame is something that has become completely taboo. No one should ever feel shame. Shame is a toxic feeling. And I'm just like, why? Why is being angry okay, but feeling ashamed is not? You know, I can't quite understand how we came to these particular emotions, these negative emotions that are allowed and celebrated and others that are considered taboo. But look, you know, if a child cheats on a test and they get caught, they're going to feel ashamed of their actions naturally. And that would lead them to confess to the teacher, to apologize, and to commit to studying honestly in the future. Okay, if a child bullies another kid and they are aware that they've done something wrong, that's good. We want them to be aware that they've done something wrong. We want them to feel ashamed of shameful behavior. It is shameful to be disrespectful to adults. It is shameful to be destructive to property. It is shameful to make a spectacle of yourself in public. There's a reason that we feel ashamed of these things. You know, if you've littered, you should feel ashamed. Yeah, it's okay. It's appropriate. And that's the language I want you to borrow from this episode, is that's an appropriate feeling. That's appropriate. You know, I was recently visiting a friend who's in the most horrific of circumstances. I won't go into details, but I was speechless. I was speechless, and I told him so. I was like, I have no words. And he said to me, that's appropriate. And it was a great exchange because it was honest. And the emotions there were real, and they were attuned and correct for the situation. It's correct to feel ashamed when we've done something wrong. You know, I yelled at my kids today. I yelled a little bit too loudly and too aggressively and too scarily, and the neighbors probably heard. And even if they didn't hear, I feel ashamed. And that's appropriate. It's appropriate to feel a little bit ashamed. Now, it becomes toxic when you go too far with it, when you can't moderate and manage and cope with those emotions, when you can't process them, when you get overwhelmed and paralyzed by shame, that becomes inappropriate. But if I lose my temper and yell at my child, I'm going to feel ashamed of my behavior, and I'm going to use it as an opportunity to apologize to my child, to discuss healthy ways to handle frustration and model better coping strategies. And saying I don't feel ashamed is not useful. Now, I think most of us feel very ashamed as parents and very guilty as parents. And as a result, we keep not wanting our children to feel those feelings. But just because it's an uncomfortable feeling doesn't mean it's not a useful emotion. Remember that emotions are there to signal to us, right? They're there as a certain compass, as a certain guide. Now, it's a skewed guide. It's a very imperfect guide. We do have to learn to master our emotions and overcome them. You can't just believe everything you feel, right? And we've done episodes about that. But it's a guide nonetheless, and you don't want to quieten some emotions that can be useful and that can lead you to something. So my point here is that it's okay for your child to pass judgments about what's better or what's worse in society or in lifestyle choices. And not only is it okay, but it's necessary. It's okay for your child to feel guilty when they've done something wrong. Again, necessary. And it's okay for them to feel ashamed when they've done something that's, you know, morally unacceptable. Again, really useful emotion, really, really appropriate. And so in each of these examples that I've brought here, judgment, guilt, and shame, they serve as internal signals that prompt reflection, accountability, growth. And that's true for both us as parents and for our children. So it's really important for us as individuals to recognize these emotions, to acknowledge their underlying causes, and then to take constructive steps towards addressing them and improving our behaviors and our relationships. What's not a good idea is to just say, no, you have nothing to feel guilty about. You shouldn't feel ashamed. You should never pass judgment. That's judgmental, etc. We need to bring back a bit of those into our society. We need to be able to discern. We need to be able to notice when we've gone down a bad path. And rather than just externalize it with feelings like anger and outrage and blaming others, to learn to take accountability for it. And to learn to handle that discomfort of, I'm not proud of what I've done. I'm not okay with what I've done. Or, and this is even harder, I'm not proud of what you're doing. I don't like what you're doing. I don't agree with what you're saying. I pass judgment on you. I judge this to be not beneficial. I judge this to be a less good path or a less good choice or a damaging choice or a harmful choice, right? I have judgment. I have discernment. I can use my critical thinking skills and decide whether or not I'm on board with this idea. So maybe judgment is just that other side of the coin of the guilt and shame we feel for ourselves, is we don't want to impose guilt and shame on other people. Perhaps that's why we're so uncomfortable with being judgmental. But you can't be a parent without being judgmental. You can't be a leader without being judgmental, because the very essence of being a leader and being a parent is guiding. How are we going to guide people towards desired behaviors and choices and away from undesired behaviors and choices if we're so uncomfortable using our judgment? And that's why you see many parents today kind of lifting up their hands and being like, no judgment, whatever. Guilt-free, shame-free. You do you. I can't tell you what's right and wrong because, frankly, I have no clue. Everything's relative. I think if we want to build a strong family culture, we're going to need to make friends with the idea that we do have a moral compass. We do have standards and expectations. We do have a vision for what leading a good life looks like. It might be quite a loose vision. It might be quite a flexible vision. It might be very inclusive of lots of different things, but it's still a vision. We still have an expectation of our children. We still want them to turn out a certain way, right? Within reason and within their independent, sovereign individual selves. Yeah, there is judgment here. And there is guilt and shame if you sway so far from what we judge to be good. And I know many of us have seen kind of maybe very high demand religions or cults where judgment and shame are used as these very extreme control and manipulation and coercion and really kind of bullying and punitive tactics. And so we don't want to be that, right? And look, I don't want to be that. But when you sway too far in the other direction, it's no good either, because your child will be searching for the guidance, for the guiding hand, for the backbone, right, of someone who is able to pass judgment. And if you're not sure how to do that without sounding terribly judgmental, or if you're worried that if you teach your child these things, if you teach them what you consider to be wrong and what you consider to be right, that they will then say something rude to other people, then stick with me, because we're absolutely going to visit that in an upcoming episode. Meanwhile, if this is the type of thing that speaks to you, if you want to learn how to build a home that is not afraid of passing some judgment, is strong, has clear values, has a compelling vision, is warm and loving and cozy and well-organized and well-run, and you want to feel that confident feeling like, I know what I'm doing. I can create a fantastic environment for my child to grow up in. I can be an empowered leader. I can straddle the uncomfortable middle of being an authority and being a leader, but also being compassionate and loving and fun. If that's something that speaks to you, then make sure to go to highfam.com/studio and get on the wait list. The studio opens once a year, and I would love to welcome you in. So make sure that you're on that wait list, because that is where we really dive in deep to making sure that we can create that environment that allows our child to experience an appropriate dose of guilt or shame when they've done something wrong, but not to be crushed by it, not to be traumatized by it, not to be damaged by it, but actually to build resilience and strength from within it. Keep on living that high fam life, and I'll see you next time.